And he did it again. Dylan Davis. Dylan Davis. It's a sensational,
sensational
6-win day for Dylan Davis.
For Dylan Davis.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Dylan Davis. The New York native has registered 818 wins for over $41 million in a career that began in 2012. The son of jockey Robbie Davis, a winner of 3,382 races in a storied career, Davis, like his dad, has staked his corner in the tough New York jocks room, winning over 100 races in each of the past three seasons. Welcome to the show, Dylan.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for having me.
You were rolling this year, 35 wins through March 20th before breaking your collarbone in a spill at Aqueduct. I mean, you had won two on the day, including the Cicada. How are you feeling now?
I'm doing better. Just really anxious to get back.
Yeah, what's this part like? I mean, what's it like to get injured physically? I know you're hurting, but then sometimes the mental part can be worse.
Yeah, this is actually my first real injury that I've had. I've had some bruised bones and dislocated my shoulder once, but nothing that's really set me out of racing this long. You know, I really can't do much right now, but I'm just really anxious to get back riding. It's just, I really miss sitting on top of a horse.
Yeah, mentally, what's it like to go from riding? I think you rode 9 that day, and then all of a sudden you're solitary sitting in the house. What's that like?
It's not good, because I've been doing it every day since, like you said, since 2012. I've been at it, going full force and nonstop. Definitely very weird for me. Just can't do much. I got a lot of energy and I can't get it out. So I'm just happy that I'm home with my kids. I didn't really get too much time to spend with them, and now I do, even though I'm broken and I can't do much with them. But just being with them is very nice, and my family. So just going on some walks and just watching them have some fun and stuff.
Yeah, that's nice. You got to enjoy those moments. And what's the prognosis? When will you be able to get back on horses?
I will be looking maybe like in the middle of May, or maybe a little bit before that. I should be ready to go.
We're looking forward to seeing you come back. Take us through that fall. I mean, there was two other guys, Nick Juarez and Nori Vargas. What was that like, you guys? I mean, in the moment, you're hurt, but those guys are there right around you. What's that like? I mean, as a guy that, I mean, you're competitors, but you're also comrades. What's that like looking around and seeing those guys hurt next to you?
Yeah, I mean, I remember every part of it. I'm just saving ground. I'm in the two path, and I'm tucked in right behind George Vargas Jr. And all of a sudden, I saw his horse kind of like lose a little action. So I wasn't really sure what was happening. Maybe he tried to jump or tripped or something. And I said, well, that's not right. So the next jump that horse took, the whole body started lowering. And what ended up happening is the horse ended up having a heart attack during the race, unfortunately.
Wow.
And I did see the horse actually lower with him, like about a foot. And I said, well, now there's something wrong going. And the horse started lowering a little more, and I said, okay, this is no good. I was right behind him, and maybe I gave myself a little half a length. So I was maybe a half a length off of his heels, pretty close to him anyways. And we entered that turn, and the horse started doing that and dropped. And I was able to react very quickly. I was paying attention, very sharp. I was able to get out of the way. And I was clear, but his horse ended up doing a full somersault. And by that, we were in the turn. The horse's legs pretty much tripped up my filly's legs and causing my filly to go down and me too. And I landed straight on my shoulder, my left shoulder. And at that point, I was laying down, and I knew something was wrong right away. I ended up being able to sit right up. Thought that the wind was knocked out of me. It was really hard for me to breathe. And right away, my whole shoulder was burning. And I said, something's wrong. I just don't want to move. I'm not moving. I could hear George Vargas behind me moaning. And I heard Nick Juarez was up and okay. He was checking me. It was very nice of him to check me and check Georgie. Just had the outriders coming to us, medical team, asking us if we're okay. And I knew something right away was wrong with my shoulder. And the collarbone was broken.
Yeah, I've broken plenty of bones, and people who haven't broken bones, they say, how do you know it was broken? And I'm like, well, believe me, when you break something, you know it's broken. Is that kind of how it felt, right?
Yeah, this is my first break, ever in my life. I'm very lucky to get this far.
I'm touching wood on for you for that.
Sport, I'm very lucky to get this far, and I know I'm very lucky. I just knew right away. It was burning. It was just on fire. And I've actually had one of the medical team ask me to move it, and I said, no, I already know I can't move it. And I didn't even try to move it, and I knew I couldn't move it. And right then and there, like you said, you just know it was broken.
Take us back to the beginning. Your dad was a jockey. What was that like for a kid? I mean, were you in all of his career and always interested in it? I mean, were you always kind of wanted to be a jockey? What was that like for you?
No, never really had interest in being a jockey. I was just enjoying being a kid. When dad retired, I was about 8 years old. I just remember just running around and playing on the track, and I never really had a lot of focus on the actual racing, just being a kid, pretty much.
When did that desire start? When did you, do you remember a moment when you think, wow, I really want to do this? Was that just growing up on the farm in Saratoga, or what was that like?
Yeah, I was messing around with motocross, dirt bikes, and I was racing locally upstate Saratoga, and there was a time where I outgrew the age group that I was in, which was like 13 to 15 years old, with my size bike that I had. And I told Dad, I said, I want to still compete. I need a bigger bike to compete. And he says, I was 16, so I just got out of that group. And he says, no. He says, I don't want you to get a bigger bike. I said, why? Why can't I get a bigger bike? I want to keep racing. I love this. I love doing it. He's like, well, that means you go faster, you do bigger jumps, and you're going to get hurt. He's like, no. He says, find something else to do. And at that point, I was in my junior year of high school, and I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. I was doing wrestling in the winter time, and I needed a summer thing to do. And I just thinking about it, I'm like, I'm going to have to start getting on some horses. I was born with this. I have Dad right here. He can help me out. And I was pretty much born to do it anyways. I loved horses. I loved horses my whole life. I just never really got interacted with them until later on, around 16, 15 years old. And I was just messing around with the pony and jogging. Luckily, Dad was training himself, so I was able to get one-on-one, coaching from the beginning.
Wow, that's a great coach. And did he ever try to talk you out of it, or was he always 100% supportive of you being a jockey?
It's funny that you say that, because he was 100% behind me, but when one of my first siblings started riding Jackie, he was not for it at all. He just knew, because he knows about all the dangerous, you know, spills or what you have to go through to become a jockey. And he was 100% behind me, and even to this day, he's still critiquing my rides, which is great. I love the support to get better, but right from the beginning, he was all for it. He never wanted to push me away from the sport.
Wow. And how often do you hear you look just like your dad on the horse? I know that was the first thing that struck me. You were galloping horses, I think, for Wesley Ward at Saratoga, and I actually saw you cross the road, and I looked, and I was like, that's Robbie Davis. I mean, that's a young Robbie Davis.
Oh, yeah. I can't count how many times that's happened. I never had the chance to watch him, like, race or remember, like, how his style was when I was that young. It's hard for me to remember, so I have to go off of, like, race replays or YouTube and watch, like, his big wins and all that stuff. But I've never really actually tried to mold myself the way he's ridden. It's just natural. It's just because of the genetics or whatever, the way I look, like how he does on the horse.
Yeah, and I mean a young Robbie Davis, not the. I'm not picking on him, but not the Robbie Davis in those big hiking boots he gallops in now. not that Robbie Davis. I can say that because I'm friends with your dad, but I mean the young Robbie Davis.
Really become a country man up there once he retired. He's really taken full Saratoga Springs on him. He loves it up there.
I love it. So who do you watch, Dylan? I mean, who are your mentors, your idols growing up or even now, guys that you try to emulate?
Right now, I've been watching a lot of Joel Rosario. He's just an impeccable rider. I really get a lot from him. He's got a lot of timing, and I don't know why he's so far back in the races, but it's just because he has so much horse. And I see how once the races really develop, just an unreal rider, very strong finisher down the lane, and I just try to mimic him myself.
Yeah, I always say that there's jockeys who ride that they ride like they were the first to know they were going to win the race, and then there's riders who ride like they were the last one to know they were going to win a race. And Rosario is definitely in the former. The way he confidently rides, the way he waits, he's empathetic to the horse. They never get, you know, he never overdoes it. Like, no matter how hard a race, it's probably just a little bit easier with him because of the style he rides. And it's something that I think a lot of young riders could pick up from when you watch him.
Of course, yeah. You just have a lot. I need a lot more horse to work with to be real confident to come from out of the clouds like he does. But when I do, though, it would definitely make it a lot easier.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the bottom line is what you're riding. I mean, when you're getting on those, I mean, it's confidence builds confidence. When you're riding good horses, you start, that confidence grows. I mean, I'm sure you can feel that way when you're rolling. You start just making better decisions and ride more confidently. Then it's more instinct, right? I mean, is that's kind of what you're going for?
For sure. Once you get on a roll and start winning races, you get a lot more, you know, confidence and I can do this attitude. And you always have to have that. But it just even more overlaps when you keep winning races daily or weekly and even stake races. You just feel like, okay, I got a good feeling for this. And then overall, just year after year, you get a lot of good feel about what you're sitting on and when to move and how the scenarios show up and what you have to do. And you just get, it's just over a period of time riding and just all that confidence is just really takes time.
And people you talk to, I mean, guys like Richard Migliori and people like that, they must help you with that, I mean, that kind of approach. Guys that have done it before, your dad, and people who can be mentors for you.
Of course. I'm very lucky to have my father just being at top-level racing that he's been competing in New York, and also Richard Migliori also. These two guys combined, almost 8,000 winners. To have those two guys behind my back and my corners is really special. And I definitely listen to them. I have to listen to them, and they didn't win all those races for nothing.
Are they ever hard on you? I mean, do they ever give you grief or give you, I mean, do they ever pull you up and say, hey, that wasn't good enough, or you're doing this wrong, or do they kind of, you know, hammer on you a little or not really?
Not my dad too much. I just, maybe it's because it's a father-son relationship, so he doesn't want to be that hard on me, but I definitely get that from Richie. He's really, really hard on me, and sometimes I don't like it, but when I take a second and sit back for a second, he wants me to do good. So I have to take that criticism and turn it around and use it. And once I use it, I know he wants me to do good. I have to listen to him. Even if he tells me I screw up a ride and I don't like it, I have to keep moving forward and learn from that, whatever mistake I make, and remember and don't make it again.
Right. What's the biggest thing that he tells you or gets on you about?
Positioning. Positioning for sure. He's really hard on me about, you know, coming out of the gate in that first eighth or quarter of a mile, about, you know, how long to let him run out or where to be. And then the second most was saving ground and being patient. Know who you're around with. Make sure you do your homework. And once you know what horses you're with, you get that confidence that, okay, that horse in front of me is not going to be up there at the eighth pole, so I can't be behind him for much longer. You have to find something else. And doing that handicapping give you more confidence in the race.
Right, exactly. And I'd say Mig was, that was really one of his specialties, was to break and get a position. He would get there. He rode for guys like Mike Hushin that wanted horses close, but he was very good at that. Kind of get a position. They always say get a position while going forward, right? I mean, that's art of being a jockey, right? You don't want to get that position while taking back, because that's actually not a position. You want to take that position going forward. That's something that's crucial.
That's the number one thing that he's instilled into me. And it's not easy, as like we're talking about. It's definitely not easy to, you know, say and do it. It's definitely tougher than you think.
Yeah, don't feel bad, because he used to give me the same lecture, and I was going two miles. He said, "You got to get in the race, get that position, get inside." All right. I got to a point where when I was riding well, I said, okay, when in doubt, be third on the inside. You know, if your horse isn't a front runner and he's not a stone cold closer and the pace is average for the race, right, you just try to be second, third on the inside. It seemed like that's where I won a lot of races.
Yep.
And who's the toughest jockey to get past? When you're turning for home, you think, oh, God, it's X, Y, or Z here next to me. Who's tough?
Well, I would say Joel because he's one of my idols anyways, but he always comes from the clouds.
Right,
so,
sure.
So if you see him coming or he's up, if he's on the lead sometimes, and if he's on the lead and he's sitting chilly, he's one tough man to pass. But I could say if you're saying a guy that's on the lead and he's hard to pass, it would be like a Luis Saez for me or Johnny Velasquez. When they're up front, they always seem to find more. I feel like Luis Saez is more one of the toughest guys to pass if he's on the lead. He just always, I don't know what he does. He does a lot of hand riding or throwing the reins action, but those horses really pick that bit up, and he really finds that little extra all the time. He's just very tough to pass.
Yeah, he's strong. He's like a little ball of muscle, right? He really gets those horses running or something.
He has that. He has that, like, he's a short stature like me, but he has that, like, center of gravity where he's right with them, and he's really pushing them forward without really getting in their way. He's more of a hand guy than like a European style where he's rocking.
Yeah.
He's more of a hand style rider, and he's just really tough.
Right. And Johnny's got to be difficult because he's such a good judge of pace, right? I mean, if when you get to him, he hasn't misjudged the pace. There's other guys that are easy to pass because they might have been doing more than they should have the whole way, but Johnny rarely does that.
Yeah, Johnny is a very good rider. I mean, everyone could say that. But he really manages his horses very well. Like Richie says, he gets very good position going forward. And then after that, he's a very good manager between that middle race and knowing when to move or knowing when to wait for a horse to come up to him and he'll use his horse again. He just knows he's a very well manager of the horse and saving the horse's energy.
No doubt. And is there a race in your career you want back? I mean, one that you just think, oh, God, I'd like to ride that one again.
Yeah, I was just recently for Clement in the Maddie May Stakes. I was riding the filly for him, and I was on the lead, and the rail wasn't that good that day, I wouldn't think, but some people say otherwise. But I did come off the rail just a pass. I mean, maybe two. And Eric Cancel ended up trying to slip up on the inside, and I heard him and I was definitely made it tight on him, but if I did any more, my number would have probably came down, so I did have to hold my line after that because he was already a quarter of the way in there at the eighth pole. And I just say that if I just stayed on the rail, it would have never came to that point, and I would have probably won that race, the most recent race for sure.
Sure, yeah. And the best one, what's the best rider you've ever given a horse?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. First stake winner or winning from my father, but I have to go to my favorite horse of all time right now is my Pat on the Back New York bred, because when I won a lot of New York bred races with him throughout his career, but he won an open the Kelso handicap grade two. He stepped up to open class and he won that race, and I was just very happy to win with him. And he's done open company before, but you know, this was more towards his later career. He won the Kelso, and I was just so happy to win with him. We built a like special bond together, and since the beginning I've ridden him as a two-year-old in his whole career. I maybe had sat off of him maybe like three or four times because he shipped out of town or whichever. Kenny McBeak took him somewhere else but for the Kentucky Derby Trail. But other than that, I pretty much ridden him his whole career. And I just feel like through his career, he pushed me forward to where I am in New York because we've won the New York Breds and all these stake races. He's just a special horse to me.
When you look back at your success, how much of it is luck and how much of it is hard work?
I think it's all hard work for me. I definitely luck comes along the way with race riding and stuff, but I would say all of it is hard work. I put a lot of time in the mornings for where I am today, and I just really think that it's gotten to me where I am today for sure, and I'm not going to stop. It's just, I don't think I've ever had anything handed to me like that. I'm just trying to find that really one big horse to break through. I just want to be in that top tier group where I'm riding stake races and riding those big races. So, and I'm just trying to learn from the best, and I'm riding with these guys in New York year round. And I'm very blessed to be doing that.
You're getting there, kid. You're not too far off. I mean it, and I think other people see it. Your work ethic and your talent is coming through, and I think you're a big horse away from really breaking through that stardom. And we have enjoyed watching your career, enjoyed watching you work hard and make it the way you have. And we look forward to seeing you back. And it's disappointing you got hurt, and I know you are disappointed that you got hurt, but we look forward to seeing you come back and hopefully see you at Saratoga.
Thanks, Sean. So I really think that this injury, you know, staying with my family and stuff, will put me even more drive to come back stronger for sure.
I have no doubt. That's Dylan Davis. All the best, Dylan. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Sean.